Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
We sure are. We sure do.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Excellent.
Me too. What's not to love about reading good comics?
Yeah. And, you know, having the upper hand on all these normies about to watch Creature Commandos.
Yes.
Not us. We'll know most things about the whole team.
Yeah, I guess.
We'll know about 60% of 100% of the team.
What are the Creature Commandos? Can you name them right now? And that's going to be in the show.
Dr. Phosphorus.
Okay, he's the skeleton guy, right?
Yeah, skeleton fire guy. G.I. Robot.
Yep.
Fucking...
Is Frankenstein in that or no?
Yeah.
Regular Frankenstein?
Yeah.
And then Lady?
Lady Frankenstein. And then you got
Weasel?
Weasel's in it, yeah. In that one.
That's everyone I know.
And then Rick Flag Sr.?
Yes. Daddy Flag.
Amanda Waller?
She doesn't count. I don't think Rick Flag counts either. Not a monster.
Is the wolf in that one? No, he's kind of probably replaced by Weasel.
Yeah,
huh?
I have no idea.
And I don't think Velcro was in that either.
Show will probably be good though, right?
I think it'll be neat. I like a violent animated movie or show.
Yeah. So, should be fun.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get ahead. We're studying. What the show is now. We study for what's coming out. We watch some of it.
Yeah. We got segments in our pod. We got the book, which is Frankenstein, Agent of Shade. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. I got like no news.
You got anything? Not a whole lot of news this week, Daniel.
All right. My only thing is new distillery book called Endeavor by Stephanie Phillips and Mark Lamming.
Okay. Cool.
It's a survival action thriller coming in February.
Should be good. I like Stephanie Phillips.
We'll see.
We might have talked about this already, but Patrick Horvath, the guy that did Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees.
Yep.
He's doing his new book, but I think we only knew that he was doing another book.
It was like the sequel to Beneath the Trees?
No, it's something completely different. It's called Free for All. It comes out in March.
Oh, that's his Kickstarter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So that already came out, or? I guess it's being published.
The campaign's probably done.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like isn't it like a 50 pager or something like that?
Oh, yeah. It says on this article, funded Free for All on Zoop, but now it's going to be published by IDW.
Oh, Zoop.
So that's going to be coming out in March, which is cool. Essentially, it's set in a world where the world's richest people are forced to either donate money to charity or face off in ritual combat to defend their millions.
Nice.
Which sounds pretty good. He writes and draws it. So
yeah, you can see if he can draw people.
Yeah, we'll see.
Not just bears.
It remains to be seen. You know Michael Cho?
Yeah.
We like him.
Love Michael Cho.
His secret project has been revealed. It is The Avengers in the Veracity Trap. It's an original graphic novel that he's doing with Chip Kidd. And it seems like it's going to be... There's another Chip that writes comics. His name is Chip Kidd. But this seems very New Frontier-ish to me.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But Avengers New Frontier.
Does it say how long it's going to be?
No.
It says graphic novel. So.
Yeah. He said... It's coming out May 2025, and it's going to be an OGN. So, typically pretty long, I would say.
I don't think the Dude Avengers book is that original.
Is that that's what the O and OGN stands for, right? Original?
Yeah.
I mean, this book is... It's not like a reprint.
That's true.
Is it?
Yeah.
Everything's original, if you think about it.
Or nothing's original, if you think about it.
Or nothing is original. Oh, yeah. That's true.
If you want to be cynical about it.
True. Yeah, that was everything I had. Pretty slow week. That's okay.
For sure.
Let's talk about news sites real quick for comics.
How you have to go to three different tabs for to get to comic news. And then half of it is shit that happened in comics that are currently coming out.
Yeah. Or it's like, here's my Superman number 4 review. And it's like, I don't care about you.
Yeah.
I just want to know what's happening.
You think I read this and think, what's this guy think? Yeah.
What is this?
I'm going to do that with movies.
What is this random?
Because it's long form. Thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's really a market like that for, I mean, like people, I think people care because there's a lot of them, you know?
Yeah.
I think certain people only care about other certain people, but there's definitely not movies are so much more of like a commitment, I feel like, to see in theaters.
Yeah.
Than a comic book is to like pick up.
You gotta go to a shop.
At least
then put the time in to read it.
I could see it for like original graphic novels, maybe, because those are like $20, a lot of pages.
Writing an article about a single issue seems so hard.
It seems so silly.
And it being like...
Unless it's like the biggest thing of all time. If it's like every issue maybe of like
feels
saga.
Like a, maybe it feels like a tweet or something. Like, it's pretty good.
True.
You know? But...
Yeah, do they have that?
Dude, there's this one podcast that I listen to, and it's a part of this podcast network. And then I saw a clip from their suggested episode that they had.
Okay.
And there's like a comic dude that's on it, right? And he's like, I recommend Ultimate Spider-Man. I'm like, why are you kidding me? Like,
it's good.
Yeah, I know. But like,
I would recommend that.
No one needs to be recommended Spider-Man. If you want to read Spider-Man, that's probably a good Spider-Man, you know?
Because have you read it?
No.
It's good. I
don't care about Uncle Ben alive.
I disagree with you on this one because it's good.
But like, if you're the comic guy, mm-hmm, and you're supposed to be giving recommendations, why is it like one of the top two most popular characters in comics?
Because there's so many story for Spider-Man, most not good. And if you're the comic book guy, does that not hold a lot of weight that you're recommending a Spider-Man book? Something he's probably seen hundreds and hundreds of times.
I don't know, dude. It just seemed weird. Like, oh, wow, this guy's read up.
Spider-Man has a beard and is drawn by Marco Cicchetto. Daniel, what
probably,
else do you need?
He's probably not even like reading other books. He's probably not even reading other books. It's just Spider-Man and Batman.
Those are good.
Next week, he's like, I recommend Batman.
I guess that, you know, is it like one book that he recommends every week?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't continue after I saw that.
That's get the so fuck great. Out of here. Just do one more. See what else he recommends. Maybe something good.
Imagine you walk into a comic shop. Be like, do you recommend anything? Be like, oh yeah, I recommend Spider-Man.
That would not be that weird.
I'd be like,
for a comic book place.
I'd be like, can I have something better?
Yeah. You know, I think it would be fun to do.
That is like, that book doesn't need promotion, you know?
That one
does. It doesn't need reviews to like... You know, get disagree, move units. Because
that's Ultimate Spider-Man. And there's like,
and then the number one on it is what's going to be moving units.
Yeah. And it did.
Yeah. Successfully. Exactly.
But if I'm new reader and I'm like, I'm going to go look for S for Spider-Man. And then I pick up like the Clone Saga by accident, you know?
No, I'm talking like single issues.
Single issues. If I pick up one of the Clone Sagas by accident.
Is the Clone Saga still coming out?
No.
And then, yeah, so like the
but
new...
But if I go to the new, S section in single issues...
The S in the new releases.
People don't know that. They're just like, let me walk in and grab a comic book.
Big sign, new releases.
Dude, once I was reading comics in the break room, and someone was like, who knows I read comics, saw me reading comics in the break room in public, shamelessly. And he's like, are those comics? And I was like, yeah. He's like, can I touch one? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, dude, how much were these? Like thinking that like all comics are just like super collectible. And I was like... Like $4 or something. He's like, oh, that's not bad. And I'm like, yeah, this is just a normal. This is like,
high demand.
I should have asked him more about what he thought I was going to say in every question of the interaction. But yeah.
If someone asked me if they could touch anything I own, I'd be like, no, dude. Why'd you say like that?
That's a good point, too. No one's ever asked me to touch something I own.
Be like, you can look at it. You can, yeah. you want to see it? Like,
I think it'd be fun to do like the top 50 movies of all time, and it's like, if you like this movie, you'll like this comic.
I mean? Like the top 50 movies of all time, it's like, what do you depend on?
Comic book movie,
well, like the IMDb one or something.
I don't know, but like a list of top movies, or it's like, if you like Alien, you'll either like the Alien comics or like this sci-fi book with aliens in it. You know, that kind of has a similar vibe.
So it's like, okay, or if it's so like, going if back like to the Blade Runner, going back to the reviewer, he's like, you want a good comic series to read? Spider-Man, you know what I mean?
And that would be a good recommendation.
That's like going, you want a good movie to watch? Watch fucking The Dark Knight, you know? It's like so obvious and like people already know that movie, you know?
Yeah.
Only like weird people haven't seen it.
That's like, I don't know, review sites are so dumb. He if you think about it.
He took his ass, looked confidently into a camera. He's like, Spider-Man. I bet you're not reading Spider-Man.
Read the first issue and tell me he's wrong. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it's good, but no one's needs to be recommended Spider-Man. It's like if you want to read Spider-Man.
But what you're thinking, like, What would you?
Like, is that helpful to me?
What would you recommend then?
Like Precious Metal.
Oh, good book.
Yeah.
All right, I'm on your team now.
You'd be like, dude, you've not heard of this. It fucking rules.
Yeah.
And
but that's what I'm saying is like, if it's like, if you like fucked up sci-fi movies like fucking Blade Runner or something, I don't know.
You haven't even seen Blade Runner.
What do you? Well, how do you know I haven't seen Blade Runner?
Because I know what you've seen. Because I've seen everything you've seen and more.
What's a movie that's like Precious Metal, but it's like a weird fucked up sci-fi movie?
You know, I'd probably go more like,
or like Love, Death and Robots, Fifth Element. Yeah, if it's like, if you like Fifth Element movie I haven't seen, then you would like Precious Metal.
Yeah,
I think that would be,
or maybe like Total Recall or something.
Yeah, that's okay. I've seen that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into the book that we read this week. If you like the movie Frankenstein. Let's talk about,
if you want to know more about the Creature Commandos, if you don't know anything about Frankenstein for some reason.
You know, I don't think I really do.
No, except I'm gonna do your movie thing. Okay, for a second.
Go to your Letterboxd.
No.
Okay, all right,
Nathan.
Yep.
Number one movie according to IMDb,
Titanic.
Shawshank Redemption. Give me a comic.
I would give you an Ed Brubaker comic, probably some crime book. Well, that one's kind of like, I don't read a whole lot of slice of life stuff, so it's bad. Next.
Okay. The Godfather.
Ooh. Okay. Probably like a crime book. Let's go like New Bern, you know?
Okay. I'd probably just do the Penguin book, honestly.
The Penguin book's pretty good too, yeah.
Gangster shit.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight.
That's a unique one. Spider-Man. Next question. This is good. See,
no, but like, if someone likes Dark Knight, you're telling them, what are you telling them?
I would be like, if you're looking for Batman, if you like the Dark Knight because Batman, read this. And you know, I'd probably just give him Batman book, right? That's not
which
crazy
one, Nathan. There's Batman is the most Batman written about character of all time.
Year one.
Wrong. Earth one.
Sorry, Earth one. Whatever.
I had a feeling that's what you meant.
Yeah.
The Godfather Part Two.
Hmm.
You can skip that one.
New Bern.
12 Angry Men. Have you ever watched that?
Is that the one with the lawyers?
Yeah.
With Tom Cruise?
No, it was made in 1957.
I'm thinking of A Few Good Men. I haven't seen that movie.
Hmm.
But it has lawyers in it?
Yep.
Daredevil.
Okay. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
See, fantasy book. We could go. I don't read a whole lot of fantasy books, but like Reborn maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Schindler's List.
Schindler's List. What's that one about?
The Holocaust?
Is it really?
Why are you stretching your feet out so much?
Because I'm thinking.
That's how you think?
Yeah. Stretch my legs out.
Let me think.
Mouse. No, the Magneto book. Oh, Mouse is good too.
Yeah. Pulp Fiction. Where are you going?
Oh. The first thing that popped in my head is Four Kids Walk Into a Bank.
Ooh, okay.
But a little bit different vibe, but still might work, you know?
Yeah.
Or
Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. that's a sequel. Skip it. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Cowboy? You could go
Western.
Pulp. You can go Pulp.
Pulp is good.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump.
That's interesting.
Didn't we read a book that was kind of like Forrest Gump?
Seems like we would have, huh?
Like a revisionist history kind of thing?
Yeah, maybe like, I mean, for some of those crime ones, we could do like The Good Asian, you know? That's like a pretty good crime book, but it's also...
That's like a detective thing now. Like,
yeah, those ones are gangster shit. Okay, know? So then like if Seven's on that list, then we go The Good Asian maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Forrest Gump is an interesting one. I don't know if there's been a comic like Forrest Gump.
Maybe Huck.
Huck's a good one. Yeah, I like that.
That's like kind of the equivalent, right?
I mean, same vibe, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's like 10, I think.
Yeah, let's see.
So,
isn't that a fun exercise?
This could be hard.
Oh, I know.
Seven is number 20. So.
But if we have like 25 movies and if someone asks us for a recommendation of a comic, I feel like starting with like what kind of movies
they it's have always been enjoying. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, kind of branch off from there.
So, for sure. Yeah. I don't really like this list. Because I watched The Shawshank Redemption thinking like everyone loves this movie. This is the number one movie.
It's good.
This is everyone's favorite movie, you know? But then I watched it and I'm like, okay.
It's got a good message.
Well, it's got to be everyone's top 10 favorite movie in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nathan, we got the book. What is it?
Dana, if you want to watch the Frankenstein movie, or if you want a comic recommendation and you really love the Frankenstein movie, I would recommend Frankenstein, Agent of Shade.
If you like Van Helsing and you liked the Frankenstein character specifically.
Yeah. If you are like, I want Hellboy in the DC Universe, but much worse, do I have a recommendation for you?
Okay. Yeah.
Because I think that's what they were trying to go for. Like, they were trying to make
like a monster vibe.
Like a monster BRPD kind of vibe.
BPRD. Oh, man, that kind of, I was like super into this. I'm like, this is a good idea.
This has been done before, dude.
I haven't read BPRD, so I don't know.
Yeah, but
he does like insane double page spreads.
This artist is so wildly inconsistent. Did you notice that?
Yes, but he's cranking out some pages.
The big pages are the best pages.
Yeah, they kick ass.
I feel like this book's not great. And it's like the first time that Jeff Lemire has been kind of outclassed by the artist. Am I crazy in saying that?
No.
Because I feel like whenever I read a Jeff Lemire thing, the bar is always like, it's great at minimum.
Okay.
Because I really like a lot of his stuff, whatever I read from him. And then I read this and I was like, this is just kind of boring. It's like kind of typical. I don't know. It's like, it's so tropey.
This is like super early in Lemire career.
Yeah, and that's what I figured.
The Lemire career.
The correct? Lemire career. That's what I figured. So I was just like, yeah, he's probably just given this book and they're like, just doing make something stuff, with Frankenstein and Lady Frankenstein and this woman that's a man, you know, named Father. So, I mean, I think there's like really fun ideas in this, but they're all kind of presented. They're all like front loaded. You know what I mean?
Front loaded.
Meaning like he had like all these kind of pretty good ideas. And then he tells you about all of them in like the first five pages without kind of walking you through some of them, I think, which I think is what he gets better at later on. Because it's like, all right, here's Frankenstein. Here's what Shade means. Here's what the ant farm is. Here's what humanids are. And here's his team. And it's like, all right, now we got the book going, you know? And I feel like sometimes
that
I was just like, okay.
It kind of gives it a unique flow, you know? Because
definitely
you,
for his books, yeah.
Then you, you know, you get all the exposition and then you read the rest of the story. And then before you know it, the issue's over.
Yeah.
Because this was seven issues, but it didn't feel like seven issues.
Oh, it felt like seven issues for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a good time with this. Yeah, I was like, this is such a good concept. There's so many, it's so ripe for good ideas, you know?
You think so?
I think, because
every monster I saw, I was like,
because it's just like a corner of DC that I'm not familiar with. And so I'm like, oh, I guess you can really go in any direction and just make up whatever the fuck you want in a way.
Yeah. But I think the act of making up kind of whatever you want along the way means that you can just kind of make up whatever the fuck you want kind of solution that works in the exact moment that you need it. Because he would set himself up for some crazy shit and he was like, oh, actually, it's all fine.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't like a whole lot of buildup. I didn't really care about any of the characters.
Yeah, it's not perfect.
No. But I do like the idea of having like monsters in DC just kind of like running around all the time, though. I think that is a fun.
Definitely.
Section of, because then like Marvel did a Monsters Unleashed thing. Was not into that either.
Yeah.
But I feel like that was like, all the monsters just kind of look like dinosaurs. And I think they were trying to get kids to read it. So I just think it wasn't like for me, but this could be for me. Like this Frankenstein book. So
yeah. Going back to the art, Alberto Ponticelli, he did the art on the entire run.
Yeah.
Which I respect.
Which is crazy to me because it's like it was the last issue specifically looks much cleaner than like the previous issues.
That is a good point because that's the only issue or the first issue where he has an inker and he's not doing the inks.
Really?
Yeah. I looked it up. So Walden Wong is the inker on number 7. And it looks like it's got a different feel and it's like cleaner.
Yeah. In 100%. A way. Yeah.
But I think the kind of, not like messy, but kind of, I guess, scratchy in a way, artwork kind of works for the vibe.
Yeah.
For most of this.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite part was the J.G. Jones covers.
Oh, yeah.
I think they fucking rule.
Yeah. Dude, he should just make movie posters.
Yeah.
Because that's what these were.
Some of them looked like old Planet of the Apes posters and shit.
Yeah, I'm sure he took some inspiration from those. But yeah, he's a good cover guy.
Definitely. This volume's called War of the Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Who else we got on this?
Frankenstein's got a sword.
Dan DiDio co-wrote an issue.
He did?
Yep. The OMAC one.
Oh, okay.
Colorist Jose Villarubia.
Nice.
Pat Brousseau, Travis Lamon on letters.
All right. Let's get into it. So in issue one, it opens with a father and a son doing some fishing. When suddenly their dog gets skinned alive by some monsters.
Page two, bad book. Page two, bad book.
Which has never happened before. So that really set the precedent. I'm like, oh no. For those that don't know, our rule is if a dog dies, it's a bad book. No dog ever needs to die.
And so you can just turn this off right now if you want.
Except for the exception of Afterlife with Archie. That's been the only exception. I think it's when we came up with the the rule. But yeah,
they definitely don't let you get attached to the dog, though.
You see the dog's meat, dude. Like they,
it's skinned.
They skin that dog like it's a KFC chicken.
It's fucking crazy. Just eating the breading.
They just eating the breading. And so I was like, Jesus Christ. So this book was doomed from the start for me, if I'm being honest. But anyway.
You know what's funny? It's like, I read this book up until the point where I saw the Creature Commandos. I'm like, that'll work.
Okay, nice.
And so I went past this knowing that you would see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's why, because I was like.
This pressing does fit in with, they're like, the team Creature Commandos is in this. So it does make it relevant, which is good.
Yeah, I think the title can make it a little misleading. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I said like, this book is perfect or almost perfect.
Almost perfect, yeah.
And I meant that point.
Makes sense. So we're introduced to Shade, which is the superhuman advanced defense executive. And we're introduced to the Ant Farm, which is the HQ for Shade, I think, that is a miniaturized building using like Ray Palmer, the atom shrinking technology.
It's inside of like a little ball that floats around.
Yeah, it's like inside a little ball.
Shade is a very forced acronym.
I've come to love forced acronyms more and more, I think, the more I read comics. Because S.H.I.E.L.D. is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, but like it's cool.
It's a cool name.
I think it's cooler when it works well. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you know? It is. But this one's definitely forced. It's like superhuman, advanced defense, and they're like, okay,
executive.
So HQ for Shade. They're in like a mini building, which is kind of a fun idea. And then Frankenstein shows up to the Ant Farm to meet Father Time and Ray Palmer about these monsters invading Washington. Frankenstein's wife, Lady Frankenstein, was that her name already? Or like, how did that work? I don't know.
She was made for him.
I didn't know that. Makes sense, though.
I don't know, actually. Lady Frankenstein. Maybe her first name's Lady, and then Frankenstein's like the surname.
Would you? So what's Frankenstein's first name? I do like that they call him Frank in this. I've never thought about that.
That's genius.
It is genius.
They hit him with a Frankie sometimes.
Like, just calling this monster, like, oh, Frank.
Yeah, you're going to be like, Frankenstein, you have a mission, you know?
Frankenstein, Frank for short. Like, that's so good. Anyway, Lady Frankenstein was already sent in to help, but they lost contact with her. So Frankenstein needs to step in and evacuate some survivors. But this is what I was talking about. Like, there's a lot of stuff being set up here, which kind of throws up the vibe of the story for me. Because it's like, okay, we got to do this. We got to set up humanids. We got to set up Father Time. We got to do Ray Palmer's involvement, which is a little bit weird. Because I feel like in things like Black Hammer, he paces out some of that information in a more interesting way.
Sure.
Because it's like, oh.
He needed some experience with a new universe.
I know. Which is where I feel like he's kind of fleshing this out. He's just like, I have all these ideas. Let me just put them on a page. But
yeah,
I'm glad that he has this so that he could come up with a Black Hammer later. Because if I knew who Black Hammer was issue one, that's not as impactful when we find out like later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's given a team of monsters. The only interesting one is Dr. Nina Mazursky, who's like a fish lady. I don't want to go over the other ones because they're just kind of there. And
Wolfman, vampire man-bat guy.
Man-bat,
and
mummy.
Then like a pharaoh dude. Yeah.
Mummy pharaoh. So they make their way to, or they start fighting like hordes of monsters. They make their way to a church where they find a group of kids hiding in a basement. And they're protected by like a priest lady. And they're like, get away from me because you look like a monster. And that's pretty much this issue. But the action here is like really what carries this. Because this artist goes all out with like these double page spreads.
Yeah, absolutely insane. A lot going on in like every inch of the page, basically.
Like you could be like looking at this page for like a while and be like discovering kind of what's going on in it, which
but
is cool.
But the fight dialogue, a little cringe.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, there are thousands of them. Like, yeah, dude.
Just keep pushing forward. Don't leave a single one of these things standing.
Clearly.
Yeah. Thank you, Wolfman.
One of the Creature Commandos we didn't mention is the Invisible Man.
What? Is he in this?
Yeah.
I literally didn't see him. Not because he's invisible. I didn't know he was a part of this.
Wait, where?
He's very quiet. You can't like...
Are you fucking with me?
You can't be too loud.
You're fucking with me.
They'll see him. They'll find him.
There's not an invisible man in this book.
Dude.
There's not. Where do you see him?
I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. I was like, I could have missed it, you know?
Yeah.
But...
Did this artwork kind of just feel very New 52-y?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh, this isn't, you wouldn't like read this. You're like, you know, this seems more 90s and more Vertigo kind of thing. It's like,
if I didn't know what era this was kind of set in already, I'd be like, this feels pretty New 52.
Obviously. Right.
Because I know that they were trying, weren't they like trying to get to like 52 different books or something?
I think they did release like 52 or started to fit. 52 different series.
This seems like this would have been like the 47th one that they greenlit. You know what I mean?
I like the stretches.
Yeah. Or
the leaps that they took with it.
Uh-huh.
Because I think this one's probably the least interesting title-wise. You know, like why does Frankenstein have a book? And what is the Agent of Shade? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Let me look up those. You can go ahead, but.
You're going to look up the 52 books?
Yeah. Did you mention what Father Time, what his deal is?
No, but Father Time is a dude whose body reincarnates every 10 years. And everybody knows him as Father Time, except this time when he reincarnated, he's like a little girl. And so I'm curious why that happened. Does he sometimes reincarnate into like an adult, or is he always a child?
Yeah, probably.
So there's just like a little kid.
It's like random, yeah.
Well, yeah, it seems like it, but there's like a little kid in this and everybody just calls her father. So that's kind of fun, I guess. Is it hard to find the New 52 titles?
Kind of.
Because I know some of the weirder ones were like Jonah Hex, The Resurrection Man. We had some...
Oh, yeah. Resurrection Man did not seem cool.
I thought it seemed kind of cool. Or the idea of it. Because I think like every time he dies, he's reborn with a new superpower. Oh, my God. That seems kind of fun.
Secret Origins?
Secret Origins, yeah. I have one of those trades, actually.
Arkham Manor?
I don't know what that is.
It's about the house.
Okay.
Gotham by Midnight.
Mm-hmm. Was the goal to get to 52, like, eventually? Or is it, like, within the first year?
No, I think there's some that come out in, like, 2013. Some come in 2011. Was there a Larfleeze?
Yeah.
Like, series?
Yeah, there's a trade of Larfleeze.
Huh.
I haven't read it, though. There was a Red Lanterns.
Legion Lost? I guess that's like the Legion.
Legion Superheroes.
That's cool. That could be good.
There's a couple Lantern books in there. So they're like, we got a couple colors to work with. And I think all of them got a trade, at least.
Yeah, I saw that. All-Star Western, dude. You know, I bought this digitally.
All-Star Western?
Yeah.
Is that the Jonah Hex one?
Nah, or focusing on Jonah Hex in Amadeus Arkham.
Who the fuck is that? He made Arkham Asylum?
He's one of the ancestors.
Oh.
Jimmy Palmiotti, Justin Gray, artist, Moritat.
Hmm.
Just one name, like Beyonce.
Yeah.
G.I. Combat? Is that like a war book?
No idea. I haven't heard of that.
Infinity Man and the Forever People?
We should just have a year where we read all the New 52 books. First trade of all the New 52 books.
What have we done so far? It's not just this, right?
I think it's just this. Wait.
No fucking way.
Because we haven't read Snyder Batman. We haven't read any, like, Superman.
Flash?
No, we did the Justice League, right?
No.
Didn't we do Jim Lee's Justice League?
Justice League, like, War or whatever?
Yeah, the one that animated movie is based on. We didn't do that one?
Mm-mm. Oh, we almost did the new Suicide Squad. Men of War. Another war book.
We did do that O-Mac. Suicide Squad, didn't we?
You know what? Maybe.
It might have been... No, I think we did.
I think we did, right?
I think so.
Okay. I was about to say. Team 7. What the fuck is that? The green team.
Whoa, wait. Is that like Swamp Thing and like a...
I'm afraid to lose my spot.
And like a Poison Ivy and like a Green Lantern?
I think it's...
Like a Green Arrow?
A comic book team of rich kid adventurers.
Wow, that's not what I was expecting.
They look like Boy Scouts.
Okay.
The Movement. I don't even know if this is like the right list at this point.
Yeah, where are we going?
Yael Simone, Freddie Williams.
I mean, yeah, they were both on DC stuff. So it seems like
we're still there. Teen.
Blue Beetle was one, I think.
A teen team kind of thing. Yeah, Blue Beetle. Threshold. What the fuck is that?
That's a good name. That's a good name for a book.
Threshold, The Hunted. Oh, Threshold Presents The Hunted.
That sounds cool.
There's all these like imprints with New 52.
Really?
It's kind of weird.
I didn't know that. We got to read one of these.
We got to read all of them.
We got to read Threshold.
Oh, Animal Man?
Oh, yeah, we did that one.
The Jeff Lemire one?
Yeah, we did the Jeff Lemire Animal Man.
Demon Knights, Dial H. I didn't know there was Dial H.
There was a Dial H, yeah. The one that we read, though, was Rebirth, and that one's sick.
Yeah, dude.
That one was really good.
That was fire. I think about that book a lot, actually. I, Vampire?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the Scott Snyder one, right?
Clarion.
There's also like
The Witch Boy.
There's like a Viltrium by Jeff Lemire.
That's like a...
Viltrium? Viltrium? Something like that.
Trillium?
Trillium, yeah.
That's not a DC book.
It is.
It's like a Vertigo book.
Oh. Okay.
I think I have it over there.
You do?
I think so.
Did you read it?
So, no. So, I buy shit and just don't read it.
Yeah, sorry. I assume that
you Sword of Sorcery. No. I tell you literally everything I read.
I know, but if you have a book here, it's not absurd for me to assume that you have read it. Other than Upside Down.
Upside Dawn.
Upside Dawn, sorry.
Watch your mouth.
Or no, what was the like Coffee Man? Too Much Coffee Man?
Yeah.
We still need to read that. All of it. Anyway. Oh,
that dude's doing another Kickstarter.
For that. Did you back it?
No, I haven't already.
Oh, for that book.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, I see.
He just like does a Kickstarter every couple of years for some reason.
Yeah, and you just pay the bills.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, go for it.
All right. Issue 2, Frankenstein. What the people are here for, Daniel. Turns out that the priest woman was using the children to make deals with the devil or something. So Frankenstein just fucking slaps the shit out of her.
This is my favorite cover, I think. Number 2.
Oh, really? I do think it's good because I like the details of his face.
Very upsetting.
Very cool. But I like the more, I like the ones with like the movie text and shit and looks like a monster movie.
Yeah, that is neat.
So anyway, Frankenstein slaps the shit out of this like priest lady who's sacrificing kids and saves the kids. Ray Palmer discovers that the portal that the monsters are coming from is inside a lake in Washington. So Frankenstein and Dr. Shape of Water Lady go to find it and they fight some more monsters. We get a little backstory for Dr. Fish Lady. She was like a scientist for Shade that created synthetic monster life. But lost control of them, so they exiled them to a prison inside of the ant farm. And then she later experiments on herself to prove that the science of turning existing people to monsters works, and it's better because they have emotions or something. Kind of a cool backstory. I did like this part.
These are good helicopter blades.
Dude, good helicopter blades. I'm like, why are they falling apart? But no, they're whooshing.
Yeah. They're like disintegrating.
That is actually something, like drawing helicopters flying...
Easy.
There's a lot of ways to do it. It's kind of like lightsaber fights, you know? There's like a couple different ways to do it. There's
like the circle with like the lines.
That one's okay, but I like it when you can kind of see like the form, like a cone of like the blade. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I like that too.
That I feel like that's not fast enough if there's like a cone. It only works like with lightsaber, not like helicopter blades.
Yeah, true. I hate the lightsaber one where you see it at like different frames, you know, of like a swing.
I
don't like that one.
I don't hate it.
I get what they're doing. I just don't like it. I prefer a big swoosh.
It's like they're going like super slow.
It's like a shutter camera. Like, you know those like sweet skateboard photos where they're like dropping into like a half pipe or something?
It's like everything.
Yeah.
Like a big jump and they're like, you tell it's twisting.
Yeah. Those are cool. But lightsaber's not twisting.
I love doing those missions in Skate 3. I'm like, I got to do something spinny. You know?
Yeah. Good game. Can't wait for the next one.
It's gonna destroy my life.
When they're in the water, they're like swimming towards the portal or whatever, and there's a bunch of human skulls on the bottom of the ocean. I wouldn't have known that that's what those were unless somebody like said that in the book, which they did. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like these are. It just looks like lake floor, but this is like all human skulls and,
you know, I don't even think stuff. I noticed when I was reading it.
Yeah, see, it's like I'm like, I feel like this is a very big thing that they tried to focus on, but they didn't do a very good job.
It's pretty fucking metal.
Yeah. So anyway, they find out through some monster science that monsters were sent through the portal to scout for a new suitable habitat, which is Earth. And they also find out that Lady Frankenstein was dragged through the portal, so the agents of Shade enter a wormhole through a vehicle that gets them through to the other side of the portal safely. And then they find a planet full of monsters. And they're like, oh, shit. What are we going
to
do?
So the monsters come from this other planet, right? And you have to use like a portal to get there.
Uh-huh.
and they call it the, they say that the planet is in dead space.
Yes.
And they make it almost seem as if it's like a multiverse under the Earth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, isn't that the dark multiverse that they basically described in Heavy Metal?
You know, I don't pretend to understand the Heavy Metal logic.
It was like there's a multiverse, but then there's a dark multiverse.
Because, like, you know? Grant Morrison defined a multiverse for the DC universe, I think, and multiverses. I haven't read it. I don't plan on it.
Multiverses came, like, after, like, the crises.
Yeah, it did. But I think they were just trying to define, like, what that really is. Hmm. And I just remember reading Death Metal, and then Batman picks up the map and, like, turns it around. He's like, what is this? And there's just, it was just black on the back of it. And I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever read. Because he's like, do we ever think about this side of the paper?
It's like Scott Snyder, like, watched, like, National Treasure. He's like, the back of the map.
The Constitution.
You gotta put lemon on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think technically this is, like, a similar circumstance. I understood it
I'm
as,
sure,
like...
I'm sure Scott Snyder didn't pull from Frankenstein, Agent of Shade.
We might have some tea here.
Mm. Stealing from Jeff Lemire.
The way that I understood it was, like, this is just, like, a dimension between dimensions or something. It's, like, in the wormhole, maybe.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in any place in the universe, just in a wormhole. Mm-hmm. But, like, this planet is just flat, and there's so many aliens or monsters on it.
You think there's flat earthers on this planet?
Dude, probably. I mean, you can see the curvature of the planet. But it's like, what do they do here? Like,
they just sit around. Well, they feed off the planet.
Oh.
Somehow.
Yeah, we do find that out. So they're like, they end up being like parasites.
So the people in this town, they sacrifice babies to, like, the lake or whatever to keep them at bay. Whatever,
like that.
Keep the monsters at bay. And there's this panel of people throwing babies into a lake. And that's my favorite panel, I think. I
forgot about that. Yeah, good panel.
Anyway.
Issue 3. So they're all fighting with Lady Frankenstein, and they're getting overwhelmed, and it's looking grim until the mummy guy, Callus. He does a big move that wipes out the whole area around them, other than his friends somehow. And then he falls unconscious.
It's like...
He does a big ult move.
It's like that in, like, Iron Man 2 or whatever, where he does, like, the laser beams and, like, knocks out all of them.
Yeah, but how do they not hit each other? You know what I mean?
What?
Like, if what he's doing is wiping out everything within a radius around him, how are his friends who are in that radius not being hit by whatever's happening?
So... Lady Frankenstein is on this planet already with infinite monsters.
Yeah.
It's crazy that she's just been fighting
that
whole time.
She's just been surviving, I guess.
Yeah.
I think she was dragged there unconscious. So I guess she woke up and, like, was fighting them.
Yeah.
That was just nothing. But anyway, this is just kind of a boring way to get out of a situation that Jeff Lemire put himself in, you know?
Yeah. You gotta have, like, the
mummy guy can just do a big ult move.
Like, how they can get out of this?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, he's got a big staff and he can.
Frankenstein is a lucky man.
He's a very lucky
man. How did he let Lady Frankenstein go? I don't know.
Oh my God.
Four hands.
Imagine what she could do with that.
That's three more than what you need.
And she's always wearing, like, that red coat.
Yep. And it feels like her boobs get bigger in every panel.
Dude, there's a specific panel where I'm like, what the fuck are
the
they doing
The last one?
Here? The last one.
I was like, whoa.
It's like, holy shit, how do we get here? But yeah. So they determine that they need to take out. There's like two continents on this planet, and they need to go to the next continent and take out the monsters on that one. And they need to go into the ocean, fight the monsters there to stop the monster invasion. But then the mountain on the continent that they're on in the distance turns into like a big Titan monster. And that gets killed when Frankenstein does the thing where he like jumps into the mouth of it and then he cuts his way out from the inside. Another big trope, you know, another thing you've seen 1,000 times.
It's like Jack Sparrow at the end of, like, the second movie.
Jack Sparrow.
He doesn't cut out of it, though.
Jack Sparrow, fucking Drax, fucking...
Oh, yeah, he pulls a Drax,
fucking
for sure.
Independence Day, Men in Black, you know?
Yeah.
All these movies have this.
Hate me!
You hate me! He's, like, jumping in place.
That's, like, the best Tommy Lee Jones, like, scene. I can't think of a better one.
He is very silly in that movie.
Yeah.
So what I don't understand is, like, they just found out about this portal. They just found out about this planet. How do they know if there's two continents on it? How do they know how to stop the planet? You know what I mean? They have a map of the whole planet already.
They have an AI, two continents. That tells them everything.
They're like, there's two continents and fucking ogres or orcs or whatever on the other planet. And it's just like, how do you know so much about this? You just got here.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. So the team needs to take out the Titan in the ocean and on the other continent. So they split up. And then back at the ant farm, their team of psychics that they have for some reason get possessed and they start screaming, help me. And it turns out it comes from the planet that the Agents of Shade are on. Like, that planet is communicating to the psychics and saying, help me.
Yeah. And
why do they have psychics? Why are they hooked up like that? Because it doesn't seem like a good situation for them.
I don't know.
It seems like they're just getting sucked. Their brains are getting sucked. You know what I mean?
Apparently, the planet is going to reach Earth in like 3 hours. And then all the monsters are going to go through the portal or whatever. Or something.
Yeah.
And so, if they don't get this mission done of going to three separate spots to kill like the bosses,
the millions of monsters.
Yeah, they have to nuke the planet.
Like, yeah, that's like you have 3 hours to kill millions of monsters and a giant titan.
Right.
Two giant titans.
Have fun.
Or we nuke you. And it's like, why? I mean, we got Lady Frankenstein. Just go back and nuke the planet. You know what I mean? But anyway, issue 4. This is one of the good J.G. Jones ones because it's like a monster thing.
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah.
Very fun. This is even like, I bet like if some of these popped up, I wouldn't think like, oh, is that Frankenstein or something? It looks.
Yeah. I'd be like, it's a zombie.
But it's cool.
Mm-hmm. So issue 4, Lady Frankenstein's team is fighting on the Ogre continent and gets support from Shade with some technology that Ray Palmer sends through the portal called the Toy Box. It ends up being G.I. Robot. In there.
G.I. Robots. A lot of robots.
A lot of them.
So many. It's not like he joins the team after this, which I was hoping for.
That's what I was hoping for, too.
Because that'd be so sick. Oh, did I say G.I. Robot earlier?
Yeah, you did.
Because he's someone I'm excited to see.
Yeah, he's like a cool looking. You like a good robot character.
I love though. A good robot. Oh, my God.
You like Robot from Doom Patrol.
Robot Man,
sorry.
Yeah.
You like?
The Wild Robot. I love the.
Have you seen that movie?
The Robot Dreams robot. Yeah.
You love?
Bender.
Cyborg.
Yeah.
A good robot character goes a long way.
I think I just like
the Iron Giant.
An expressionless character, you know?
Who ends up having feelings.
Yeah. Which is deeper.
Anyway, meanwhile, Frankenstein and
X-ray robot.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Red Tornado. Technically a robot.
Yeah.
He's good.
Great, Red Tornado.
So, there's more. Frankenstein and Dr. Shape of Water, she finds out that she can control the fish monsters because she looks like fish, Daniel. And they're like, we fuck with you.
They think you're their mommy.
And the fish titan is like, I fuck with you too for some reason. And it makes it easy for Frankenstein to kill with a sword.
I like how the fish lady, she's got like a suit to where she can survive outside of water. You know, she takes the helmet off when she's underwater. She's like,
oh, thank God. Yeah.
And then there's like these like metal breastplates that just like make sure you know that she's like a woman kind of thing.
Yep. You gotta know.
I just think it's funny.
This issue is just insanity, but it's portrayed really fucking well. Like, what is this going on?
Absolute
here?
Madness.
Like these huge fucking death wheel things that I guess came from the toy box. Like, as I was reading what was happening, I'm like, this is dumb. And then this happened, I'm like, this is pretty cool.
Here we go.
There's a big titan, and like the big titans themselves, like look at this big fish guy.
You know what
I mean? So like at least that's pretty fun. Like they got a good monster guy, which is good.
Yeah, which is
and this is when I was like, man, this is
what you need for this book.
Jeff Lemire was lucky to like get this guy, you know what I mean? So
yeah, because it'd be very easy for this like not to work.
Exactly. So the team makes it out in the ship that they came in on just in time for them to close the portal behind them and save the Earth. And that's pretty much this issue. But another lazy plot point I wanted to talk about is that the egg ship that they came in on broke down when they landed, but it has the technology to like fix itself, which just happens to finish right at the moment that they need it.
Yeah, because like, they can't take it to the continent to get there faster.
Yeah, so they had to walk to the continent. From the continent that they were on and into the ocean. So I guess luckily everything was within walking distance.
Yeah.
And then when the ship needed to be used, they used it. So I was just like, okay, how very convenient.
Just in the nick of time.
Yep. Issue 5, co-written by Dan DiDio, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Frankenstein is sent to go deal with OMAC, who is starting to cause some trouble. when the Checkmate organization lost him. So they asked Shade for help with bringing back OMAC.
Do you know that Checkmate, their headquarters is in Mount Rushmore?
I like that idea. That's some...
That's patriotic shit right there.
That's some patriotic shit. It feels like some National Treasure shit.
Yeah.
Like Nicolas Cage is like, this is a clue.
You gotta go in the nose.
Did you see
find,
that?
We can find the treasure.
You see that Halloween costume where it was just like someone dressed up like Nick Cage and the other person was the Constitution? I was like, that's a good costume.
Is that the one where they had like the forehead like extended?
And he's like 300 years and I'm 3 feet away or something like that.
Yeah.
300 years of searching. I love that movie. That movie's fucking electric, by the way. Have you rewatched that recently?
I don't think so.
It's so good.
It used to rerun like crazy. It's on the Constitution. On like FX. Yeah. You know?
Shit's good.
Anyway, 1 and 2, fire.
And it's got the guy from The Hangover who's been in only those two things.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
Great career.
He was perfect for those two roles specifically. Frankenstein is sent to go deal with OMAC. And while he's fighting OMAC, there's a virus trying to make its way into the ant farm, like Shade systems.
So OMAC is
I know exactly what you're about to say. Yep.
And I guess in order to become the character OMAC that we know and love.
Yeah, he doesn't say Shazam.
He has to say OMACtivate.
I did not know that.
Which is brilliant.
But I love OMAC now.
Isn't OMAC like a new god or something?
No. I think OMAC is what Blue Beetle fights in the movie.
Oh.
And
I think OMAC, I think Dan DiDio writes the OMAC book.
Mm, so we needed some cross-promotion synergy with Frankenstein.
Omni-mind and community.
That's cool.
But it was originally observational meta-human activity construct.
I feel like we saw the OMAX and the Grant Morrison thing,
also, too. One-man army corps. They need to fucking pick one.
Dude, those are all really good.
Yeah.
One-man army corps is cool. I think that's the Blue Beetle in the movies, the one-man army corps.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Sometimes in the Justice League, I guess.
Yes. I wonder if the OMAC New 52 book's any good. Probably not.
No. That's like one that I'm like, there's no way, you know.
But we never know.
Like, it can't be good.
He pops up every once in a while. Someone must like him for some reason.
Sure.
Some of these double page fight spreads. Some of these double page spreads of the fight, they're like cool, but some of them are like really confusing. Did you notice that?
Yeah, super hard to read.
Like some of like that, the body or like the figure is so big that it expands out of the panel, which is like pretty typical in comics. But what makes it difficult to read is that the body overlaps multiple panels where that also has the same body in it. And so I'm just looking at this dude's leg and then all of a sudden above it is like his head. And I'm like, what is the position that this person's in? And so they just kind of like overlap.
The choreography themselves. Is super hard to read for sure.
Cause like there's this one where we see the dude getting suplexed, I think, but there's like,
that's what you want to see.
There's like two different motions of him being suplexed. And so we see a small version of OMAC like right here and then a big version of OMAC right here. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck is happening in this.
It does look very wrestling though.
Yeah.
He definitely smacked him and he's about to body slam him.
Yeah. So for this suplex second segment that I forgot we made up during Transformers, but this one's a zero.
Zero.
I can't really tell what's happening.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it would like count as like a suplex.
I think it does.
The body was thrown. I think it's more like an RKO.
Okay. Because a suplex is where you're like still hanging onto him, right?
Suplex is where like you're like hugging him from behind.
Yeah, and then when he hits the ground, you're still like hanging onto him, right?
Yeah.
That's a suplex. Okay, I think he lets go of him. So anyway, so OMAC and Frankenstein keep fighting. Meanwhile, Ray Palmer is sent to go confront this Brother Eye virus, which is communicating with the OMAC, and they end up like capturing it, I guess. And then Frankenstein tries to kill OMAC, but OMAC teleports away, taking Frank's arm with him, but they are able to grow him like a new arm because he's kind of just stitched together with like a couple different parts.
Yeah, 12 different people.
Yeah.
Create Frankenstein,
and he doesn't like really know who he is anymore, which is an interesting character trait.
Yeah,
but they don't explore it at all.
maybe later.
I think they like are setting this up for like, later, but this is a grounded thing about this character, because right now he's just a dude with a big sword that's pretty good at fighting.
I wonder why they went with sword.
I think sword is good because I'd never think Frankenstein has a sword.
I think a hammer would work.
No.
Mm-mm. Or like a medieval. I guess that a sword is medieval, but.
Yeah. I think sword is cool. It gives me something to work with, you know.
As I thought far as, they're going to go try and find his arm for some reason.
That'd be cool too.
But now they're like, oh, we'll just grow another one.
Yeah, we're working on a new one right now. It'll be ready in a bit. And so Frankenstein gets pissed and he's like, man, I don't know if I want to be an agent anymore. I wanted to help people, but now you're just throwing me at random things. So And this issue is where I was like, do you think they were just trying to make a Hellboy for DC Universe? Because this feels very BRPD, whatever it is.
Yeah, the first four issues were like, all right, there's like a mini arc here.
Yeah.
You know, getting the band together and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And the last three are like kind of Monster of the Week kind of stuff.
Yeah. And which I think has...
Which can kind of be refreshing.
Yeah, that has some potential there.
And I'm glad it's three rather than like just one after. Because then I'm like, why not just cut off after four?
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway.
So issue six. One of the humanids that are supposed to be like non-sentient. Which by the way, humanids are like... humanoid like machines. They aren't sentient.
They're made out of like putty or something.
Yeah, they're made out of some sort of clay or putty, and they only hold structure for like 24 hours, and then when they melt they either get recycled or used for like energy. But they're like, they're basically the henchmen of like the ant farm, and they help run things.
They just kind of,
but they're kind of like autonomous, like they just kind of do
ditch work.
They do their own thing. Yeah. And so one of them ends up gaining sentience inside the ant farm, and he like sneaks off. He's like, what the fuck is going on here? And then Frank and the rest of the Creature Commandos are in Vietnam.
Nam.
They're in Nam, Daniel. And they're there to stop an old teammate, Colonel Quantum. Good name.
Good name.
He probably would have used that name in Black Hammer if he didn't use it in this, because that is such a Black Hammer name.
Yeah.
And he's like an atomic powered dude who was used in the Vietnam War to turn the tides of the war. But he turns his back on the killing and he hides somewhere in Vietnam, but recently he just exploded in Vietnam, so they have to go eliminate him.
So I like the concept that Shade's just kind of always been functioning like in secret.
Yeah.
You know, and then having a presence in Vietnam.
Because he was like, I was a superhero before it was cool, Superman in 1939. But then he was like, I operate before Superman, which is in the Vietnam War, which is after World War II. So Superman would have already been a thing. I don't really know. But I think it's kind of weird that they clearly went with like a Watchmen ripoff for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like it feels so weird because this is DC. So it's not like it's like Marvel trying to do.
This like is a like Watchmen. Before they like merged like the Watchmen universe with like DC universe.
Even still, it feels very weird because it's the same war. It's like a big dude who's all one color, pretty much naked the whole time.
Yeah.
Blasting some Vietnamese
locals.
There's
even like a bar scene.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is he about to kill someone?
I'm like, is he about to kill someone's baby? Unborn baby? But it's so strange. I think they had Watchmen at this point, didn't they not?
They had Watchmen?
I think they acquired the Watchmen, right? No.
It was always Watchmen
was
DC.
Always in DC. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what were you saying?
They didn't like merge like the Watchmen and DC stuff.
Oh, yeah. That was Rebirth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but like the company had it, right? So I was just like, this is so strange to me that Jeff Lemire's like, I'm going to do a Watchman.
But this is different than Dr. Manhattan because he's not super smart or anything. He just gets bigger and blasts.
He gets bigger and blasts, and it's specifically in Vietnam during the Vietnam War.
Then he realized like, you know what? These people aren't our enemy. We're fighting like another man's war kind of thing.
And so he leaves.
And so he walks off and he turns his back on the fighting.
Yeah. Respectable.
But I'm like, cool.
So then at the ant farm, the rogue humanid is like recruiting more humanids. And he's like, he's saying that Brother Eye has made them woke, like the media.
Yeah.
So he's like making other humanids bunch of sentient.
Human libs.
Like human libs.
I'm surprised I came up with that right now.
That was good. Yeah, I like that.
That seems like something I'd write down and force into conversation.
So Frankenstein finds Colonel Quantum, who says that he wants to die, but
he's all gross now.
He's like all gross. And he's like, I wanted to die alone, but I can't. And now he's just so unstable. And so he asks Frank to shoot him. But when he does shoot Colonel Quantum, he gets super huge. He seems like he's about to blow. And then he turns into human again and dies. And I love this page because he goes from big, big, huge Colonel Quantum man. He shrinks down to person size. And he's like, it worked, thanks. And then he dies in the next panel. And it just happens so quick that like the pacing of it is kind of funny to me. Because he's like, he goes from big monster to this guy. He's like, thanks, and he dies. It's just like, whoa.
So
that happened so fast.
set off like some nuclear reaction and like killed like 1,000 people like nearby.
Yeah.
Like a village or two. And that got the attention of Shade, and then Frankenstein was sent out there.
Yeah.
And so the plan was to kill him.
Right.
But it was just lucky that he knew that they would come after him if he like made himself known.
So he's like kind of made peace with it. But I guess he's been, you know, he's been wanting to be secluded this whole time because of the stuff that he's done.
Right.
Like there's some good stuff here because there's like a little butterfly that lands on his thing. So, you know, he's like a delicate kind of man.
Yeah. He's humane.
He likes to hold a butterfly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's something good in this monster.
And the butterfly likes him.
Butterfly likes him. Likes to sit on his finger. So then the humanids all coordinate to break out the monsters that are in the zoo, which is where the original monster experiments are being held. So they break out those monsters, and Lady Frankenstein and Lady Abe Sapien are the ones that are there to like stop it. And they're like, oh no, it's the original creature commandos, I guess. So these are like these are the original monsters that the lady fish couldn't control. So she stuffed them away in a prison.
Lady Frankenstein can reload both of her guns at the same time with her other hands.
That's pretty cool. I didn't see that, but I like that idea.
But normally she has like 4 guns that she's just aiming at all times.
So what if she has to reload 2 of the guns? How does she do that?
Just holsters 2.
Yeah.
Probably. Reloads the others. I think it's just, they seem more like blasters. So like maybe not as much reloading needed.
Yeah, probably.
It was just, I think, for that one panel where it's showing her reloading, which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, I like this idea of the humanids going rogue. I think there's something there. They didn't really do much with it, but
yeah, it's very iRobot.
Yeah. And then these like original creature commandos are very goopy.
Yeah. Goopy and gross.
So you know that they're
one's
bad.
Like a ghost or something.
Yeah.
The Invisible Man.
Dude, the Invisible Man is in here. Oh my God.
And then there's a spiky lady.
Yeah. So then issue 7, this one's probably my favorite cover.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Frankenstein and the team make it back to the ant farm, and they're like, no one's home. And they break their way into the ant farm, and they're met with rogue humanids that are trying to have like a humanid revolution, and they have to like fight through them. They end up making it to a secret room in the ant farm where they experiment on new weapons, and they like equip themselves with those. We said this before, but the art style definitely got like a lot cleaner in this issue, apparently because of the new inker, but like, just the way that like Frankenstein is like drawn, or I guess inked, just makes it feel like a lot less scratchy. There's more room, it seems like, for like the colors to kind of work within there.
Yeah.
So everything seems like a lot more formed. But scenes are still pretty like complicated.
Yeah, it's cool. A bit more readable, but
yeah.
I think the rendering of the characters looks like a little different still, even though it's the same penciler.
Like I feel like it works
interesting.
It works better for Frankenstein, but I don't know if it works necessarily better for any of the other creature commandos, because like the wolf man looks pretty good in like a scratchy sort of format.
Yeah,
but now he just kind of looks like a bit like a dog, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of works, kind of doesn't. But the whole Shade team kind of fight off humanids, including like Lady Frankenstein fights the original creature commandos, ends up being fine, and the whole Shade team regroups. And Father tells Frankenstein that there was a monster that got out of the zoo, and it was Frankenstein's son.
Frankenstein and Lady Frankenstein's son.
Frankenstein and Lady Frankenstein's son.
She points to both of them.
Oh, it was your son.
Your son.
That's so dramatic.
Yeah.
And then that was like the big twist, and then the book ends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this last page.
I can't stop looking at it.
Look at these honkers, dude. It was never that big. Yeah. Before that would have been, it would have gotten in her way.
Sometimes like there's not a lot of room in the space that he gives himself to draw Lady Frankenstein and her boobs. So yeah. Sometimes like her boobs are like in her chin, you know?
Yeah.
In certain panels. This
other,
one
other seems, parts of this issue, there's more room of that. So,
right.
I just think it's funny.
And I doubt that they're going to, I don't think based off the design of the show, she's going to be anywhere near slutty.
No, probably not.
Which is a bummer, but.
Because I think she's wearing like a white dress, isn't she?
Something like that. Yeah, not like a corset with thigh highs.
The jacket that she's wearing is interesting because it's one of those like pointy ones at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's like
a penguin kind of thing.
Yeah. Where you, are those actual jackets you can just like buy?
Yeah.
Is there like a high-end Hot Topic store?
I think it's like a masquerade kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Go to those certain parties. Very fancy.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, me and Sophie are going to be Frankenstein and Lady Frankenstein next year.
Dude, that'd be sick.
I'm going to give her two arms, two extra arms.
Yeah, and some guns.
Yeah.
And paint her green.
I got to get jacked, but we'll work on it.
Nah, you're fine.
So let's move into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Very small back matter. Basically cover sketches from J.G. Jones, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he does some good stuff.
Yeah.
But just some basic concepts for like the trade issue and then some of the following ones. But I like the early concepts of like the movie poster looking ones. He does good stuff. But just two pages of that. So that's all we have for back matter.
Oh, well.
What would you rate this book, Daniel?
I would give it like a store brand Rocky Road that you like forgot about. But then you're like, oh, I have ice cream. And there's a little bit of that like frost that's on like ice cream when you go to open it. Yeah, like some freezer burn. And it like expired like last week. But you're like, this is still good.
Okay.
And you eat it. You're a little worried about like your health. Like you might throw it up, but you're like, nah, it's fine.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Rocky Road's a good flavor. This is in good bits.
Yeah. That's a good comparison. I would say this is like if Gordon Ramsay made like freezer meals.
Okay.
Because it's like, oh, Gordon Ramsay, he makes good stuff. I eat his food and wow. I like it.
Jeff Lemire is a Gordon Ramsay of comics?
Dude, I think so. I think it's an apt comparison.
Yeah. Sometimes but like, then, like, it's I'm too like, fancy, oh. Doesn't really get you full, you know, but like people like it.
But if I see like a Gordon Ramsay thing in the freezer, I'm like, I like his food. Let me try this out. You know, I kind of know that it's not going to be as good and I eat sure. it and I'm like, that wasn't very good, but I still like Gordon Ramsay.
You know how like, okay, so I would say like his independent stuff is like Hell's Kitchen kind of food.
Yeah.
But like, okay, yeah. But like his like DC Marvel stuff is like Gordon Ramsay's like fish and chip shop.
Or like his like, burger
that's
place.
That's in Vegas. The burger place is still kind of fancy. Like you got to sit down and go there.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know? And so the fish and chips is just like a stand, you know?
Yeah.
They got a lot of sauces. You know, maybe not the best fish and chips you've ever had, but definitely solid.
Yeah, totally.
And there's some authenticity there.
Mm-hmm.
Good walking food.
Who's the Guy Fieri of comics?
The Guy Fieri of comics. Oh my God, I got to be careful about that one.
Because like, stuff's pretty good. He's a pretty cool guy overall, but he's like kind of silly.
Kind of trashy?
I don't know about trashy, but like, he's more fun. Like, the comics would be like more consistently fun and just wild. Like, it would be like a Ryan Stegman, maybe. You know what I mean?
But like a writer wise?
Yeah, writer wise, whoever.
You know, I think it might that. Be like Donnie Cates, Brown. Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
It could be a Donnie Cates. Yeah. I don't think that's.
I've never disliked anything I've eaten by Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why is there like a flavor town in Mexico, you know? And why is there one like on this cruise?
Yeah, that's fair.
So. Anyway. I'm like, this is fun.
It is fun.
Who's Wolfgang Puck?
I don't know who that is.
Definitely John Hickman.
Who is that? Wolfgang Puck?
It's like another
chef guy?
Chef guy. Steak dude, I think. I don't know.
Who's good? Who's the... Who's that other chef that has a show? And it's like, you got to be a better cook than him. Anthony Flay? Something like that?
Oh, Bobby Flay?
Bobby Flay. Who's the Bobby Flay of comics? Grant Morrison.
Jeff Johns.
Next question. Good stuff. So let's go into our next segment. The poll list, colon.
Shove in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
The comics did not get there for my shop today.
Ooh.
I do not know what I'm getting, so I need you to tell me.
All right.
They should be there tomorrow, they said.
Dang.
So I'm going tomorrow.
You're going to get Aliens versus Avengers number 2.
Oh, finally. The book came out a year ago.
It felt like it. I'm going to get X-Factor 4, probably.
Okay.
You're going to get Plastic Man No More, number 3. Oh,
yes.
You're going to get Absolute Superman, number 1.
Yes.
I was excited for that. Speaking of Jeff Lemire, you're going to get Justice Society of America, number 1.
Who's he doing that with? I'm going to get it, to be clear.
I don't know.
It was somebody I knew, I thought.
You want me to look it up?
It's like Rafa Sandoval or something?
I don't know. Diego Olortegui.
No, I don't know him. I thought it was somebody I knew. I'll be picking that up.
Saga number 70.
Of course.
I'm going to get Public Domain number 10.
Very, very nice.
Yeah.
I will be picking those up.
Did you read anything?
I did not have time to read anything this week.
Yeah, unfortunately. I was like, I like finished this like yesterday. I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah, I finished this morning.
Wow.
But I did watch a movie.
Ooh.
We got back from a party super late on Saturday. I mean, not you, but me and Sophie did. And we wanted to order Taco Bell. Turns out there's only one Taco Bell that's open at like past midnight that was nearby. It took an hour and a half to get to us, but we were watching a movie while we were waiting for the Taco Bell.
I think we got Taco Bell too.
Did it take a fucking long time?
No, we went and got it like adults.
I should have done that. It would have been quicker, but I was drunk. So maybe I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, we watched Woman of the Hour.
Ooh.
While we were waiting for our Taco Bell.
How'd you feel about that?
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. The guy fucking creeps me out.
Yeah, very creepy.
He's really good at what he did. For some reason, I thought Anna Kendrick was the killer. And so I'm like, is there going to be a big twist here?
Until you watch like the first scene.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and I'm like, oh, never mind.
Yep. No, she's just caught in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And like ends up getting away. But yeah, that shit's crazy. Mm-hmm. It like really gives me the creeps. Just like how intimate it got with like some of those scenes where they're like alone. He's like taking pictures.
Yeah.
Really gross. But really well directed, and the concept's crazy that it's like based off of a thing that really happened.
Yeah. I think it's a great way to tell like the story, and maybe there wasn't that much to it. So it was like pretty swift.
Yeah.
I guess there's like a lot of murders that he like got away with, but I think they only really.
It said there was like 130.
Yeah.
An absurd amount.
But I think he only was like pinned to like 8 or whatever. So they showed like some of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that last one where the girl gets away, very smart,
very
the
satisfying.
Way that she like did it. Yeah,
yeah,
so, yeah. Really good movie. I mean, mm-hmm. I was like, so I kept my interest the whole time. I'm like, where's this gonna go?
It's stressful as fuck.
It is. Yeah.
I was like,
so I thought it was really good. It's her like directorial debut, right?
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick. So I think she did a really good job.
Definitely.
Pretty cool. And I'm caught up on Penguin. Good show. You should check it out.
Good stuff. I'd have checked it out.
Have you checked it out to the point where you're caught up?
No.
It's good.
I know it's good.
It's good. Dude, I waited until it came out on Sunday.
You have to wait for it to come out.
You know what I mean? I was like, I was there. I was like, I'm going to watch it as soon as it comes out. I can't remember the last time I did that.
Mm.
Probably The Last of Us.
House of the Dragon, I think.
Ah, fuck that show.
Fuck that show.
It sucks.
Sucks?
It sucks.
What do you mean?
It's boring and nothing happens.
Something's going to happen.
They've been telling me that for 2 fucking seasons.
I love a buildup. There's a bit of stuff that happens.
There's some stuff that happens. I like when the twins fight. That's about it.
Yeah. I watched a movie called Anora.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's really good.
The one about the stripper who marries like a Russian guy who's got money.
That came out this month, right?
Yeah. It's kind of a weird release schedule. Like, it was out like the week before at like some movies, and then is out last week at the theater I normally go to. But yeah, very good. It's very stressful, very Uncut Gems inspired, you know, where there's like long scenes that are like chaotic, you know. Mm-hmm. Super entertaining like the whole time. Like, there's a lot of decent momentum. Some of the like montages and scenes seem like they went like a little too long because it's like a 2-hour 20-minute movie.
Okay, what is it like about?
It's about a stripper who has like a client who just wants to like see her more often and whatnot. Ends up like going to Vegas with her and they get married.
Oh.
Because he has to like leave eventually because he's Russian, and I guess his parents are like powerful in Russia or whatever.
Okay. So he's like, I don't have to
leave if I get married or whatever.
Yeah.
But then the parents are not down with that. And so they're just trying to tear them apart the whole time.
Got it.
I didn't necessarily understand like the ending and like kind of what the whole thing was like for. You know, it was just kind of something that just kind of plays out. I kind of needed like a podcast to like
explain it
to me. But yeah, even when that was explained, I'm like, I guess it's all right.
Yeah.
But the dude, Sean Baker, who wrote and directed this, what he does for sex workers is kind of what like Scorsese does for like gangsters, you know, like all of his movies are kind of related to like sex workers in some way.
Okay.
And so
yeah, it's just like a
very sex positive guy, you know.
Yeah. And or then, just like that whole situation is very unique, you know, mm-hmm. or like it's fucked up.
Right. Kind of like...
A lot of, like, goes on, but it's still, like, kind of interesting. It's drama, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Sarah liked it.
That's good.
Which is a plus.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of like, I was just like, just a little confused. I still gave it like 4 stars though.
Yeah.
But that's like lower than like what the...
The big movie reviewers are like, this is great.
Right. 4.5, 5 stars and stuff like that. So yeah, pretty good.
That's cool.
You could watch it and probably like it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
There's a new expansion of a card game that I play, the Star Wars Unlimited. Is that what it's called? The Star Wars card game?
Yeah.
That came out. It was there's 2 new starter decks, and it's based off Clone Wars, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
So you get to play as, well, there's a bunch of new leaders, but the big two for the new like starter decks are
Kit Fisto.
Dude, there is a Kit Fisto card.
Fuck yeah.
Parker fucking pulled one.
Nice.
And I'm like, what can I do to get that card?
That's like the Charizard.
There's a Jar Jar Binks card now. But I was like, what can I do for Kit Fisto? And Ben also wants it, so we're going to play each other for it. He's just going to give it to whoever wins. But anyway, the starter leader is General Grievous.
Nice.
And
just Grievous.
Is it? Is he not General?
General Grievous, but you said Grievous.
Oh, Grievous. Okay, yeah. And Ahsoka Tano.
Nice.
And what they added to it is that there are cards that give you either clone troopers or droids that just come out into the field. And so there's a lot more cards on the field at one time, but they're weak. So it's kind of interesting.
Nice.
And I went to my first ever card release. So like on Friday.
Super nerdy thing to say.
I know. What's funny though is that they
graduated to a new level of nerd.
They do a tournament for the release of like new expansions, but most card shops really only do that for Yu-Gi-Oh or like Magic. Sometimes Pokemon, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went for Star Wars, we were the only ones there for that reason. And so we had a tournament with just the people that we went with. But what's cool is that you still get like an extra booster pack for participating in the tournament and potentially winning. I lost 3 times in a row, but I still got a participation booster pack. So that was cool.
Who won?
Parker's sister's kid, Monroe.
Nice.
He was fucking nice at that game, dude. But like,
what, dude, how fucking sick would it feel to like beat the older kids, you know, at like a game?
Dude, it feels great. What's funny is that he had a birthday party just to play that game.
Yeah.
I was invited to it and I won that tournament. I kicked his ass. It was me and him in the finals. I kicked his fucking ass, dude. And I won the prize money. I gave him some of the money. Obviously, I'm not an asshole. But I still kept some of the money and I didn't let him win.
Suck it, kid.
And he fucking kicked everybody's ass in this one.
He came back for blood.
Because the way when like the expansions drop, you don't play with your normal decks. You build a new deck off of like the booster packs you get from the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So you just get like random cards and you just have to like try and make it work.
Yeah.
So everyone's kind of like on the same playing field. So mine sucked, but his was great.
Nice.
So that was pretty fun.
Nathan, you know what we haven't done in a long time?
Oh, God. What are we doing?
A panel duel, dude.
Panel duel. Yep. All right.
We'll do just like a couple.
If you're listening on audio, panel duel is where Daniel shows me a panel and I have to guess what that comic is.
I'll probably just cut it out of the audio altogether and just keep it in the YouTube video.
But if you do cut it out and you're interested, go to YouTube. Play with me. See if you can get it faster.
Yeah.
What are we gonna read next week?
So yep. Then what are we gonna read next week?
That's a good question. What should we read? Coming out?
I'll give you the option.
All right.
So Thanksgiving is coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
So we could do a Fantastic Four book.
That'd be good.
To where it'd come out the week before, or I can edit, or we can push that a week and then I have it release on Thanksgiving. And then we can do something else next week. But the something else would have to be Kraven's Last Hunt.
So either Kraven's Last Hunt
or Fantastic Four.
I think we could do Fantastic Four.
Okay. I just heard recently that there's a Fantastic Four book by Matt Fraction. And there's art by Mark Bagley and Mike Allred.
Really?
Yeah. 3 issues of Bagley and 3 issues are Allred.
That sounds good.
You want to do that?
What was the one we did last year? Was it the Hickman one?
I don't think we did one last year.
We did a Fantastic Four book.
We did FF like a couple
years ago. Oh, FF. That's what it was.
No, we did Ryan North's last year.
Oh, that's right. That was good.
It's like brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, let's do the, what is that? What is that one called? Is it just?
It's called, the trade's like Fantastic Four by Fraction.
Let me see if I've seen this damn cover.
Because this one's weird because Matt Fraction had two separate Fantastic Four books going at the same time.
What the hell?
One was called Fantastic Four with Mark Bagley. The other one was called FF with Mike Allred. But the trade that we'll read has the first three of each run.
Cool.
Yeah, which is neat. So it's called Fantastic Four, New Departure, New Arrivals. And that is the cover.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Mark Bagley, man. Real legend.
Good.
Did you know Mike Allred's cousin was on the like ballot for this election?
Was he really?
It was like his cousin was like running for like the House of Representatives or something. There's like an Allred on the ballot.
That's actually his cousin? I saw that.
That's like, I think it's actually his cousin. Because he tweeted about it. I don't know if he's just joking. But he's like, please vote for my cousin.
If he's like endorsing someone, it's probably his cousin.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like,
that's cool.
I don't think he won. But shouts out. It's because he didn't use Mike Allred art for his political campaign.
it'd just freak people out. Like the big eyes.
It's just like, yeah. It's just him like saying, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, Fantastic Four, we like it.
First family.
Yes.
For Thanksgiving.
I like this trend.
I like it too. There's good Fantastic Four shit. Next year, we should do the Grant Morrison one where each one of them dies in each issue.
What, 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yeah.
I was worried that you were going to want to read that more than this, which I did not. But we can do that next year, though.
Okay, sounds good. We run out of Fantastic Four stuff.
Well, there's the Fantastic Four movie that comes out too next year in July. Oh,
yeah, we should do it then.
Do it then?
Because it's like interesting to talk about.
Is it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, because that one has Jay Lee art, I think.
Yeah.
But like early Jay Lee.
Yeah, and you'd think it'd be good. I think it was.
Did you read it?
Yeah, this is when I was like ordering stuff off of my comic shop.
Mm.
So I read that and I was like, I don't know, this is a comic and I read it. So I don't know if I had the critical mindset like I do now.
Right. So. All right, sounds good. Fantastic Four. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. What is your favorite creature?
What's your favorite monster creature?
Yeah. And why is it Lady Frankenstein?
Who's your favorite creature commando? Everyone loves creature commandos.
Yeah.
Everyone's a big fan.
What's interesting is that show doesn't have any true lineup of creature commandos in the comics.
I mean, neither does Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think that lineup was...
It was a Dan Abnett, Andy Lanning one.
Right.
But it wasn't the...
That also had like Quasar and like Cosmo in it though. In Warlock.
Yeah.
But, well, like did the Bendis run have like that team that was in the movies?
Yeah, but it was because of the movies.
Was it?
Yeah, it was after the first movie came out for sure.
Okay. Sounds good. So link tree in the bio. Like, comment, subscribe. Send an email at tradewarespod@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
Always taking recommendations.
Of course.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.